Good morning. If you're visiting today, we're just really pleased and honored that you chose to come and worship with us today. I'm Pastor Bill Greiner, and it's an honor to be here and to share this great story that we're going to talk about today. This is the beginning of a new series called Finding Your Way Back to God. It's going to be for 5 weeks. We're going to be talking about this. And I was thinking about, we just recently celebrated our 100 years. So in 100 years, how many people, East Ashland, Jefferson Avenue, the previous names, Eagle Ridge, how many people found their way back to God as a part of this fellowship? I don't even know how you'd figure that out. And maybe some of them had some background, or maybe they went to Sunday school or something like that, and you know, they wandered off and did their own thing, and then they found their way back to God. Others, maybe they just they came up within the church, and maybe their body was there, but their heart was someplace else, and they found their way into a relationship with God. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. Our foundation is going to be the story that you hopefully picked up on, that the band Sidewalk Prophets was singing. We're going to read that. The story of the young man who walks away from his family and from his father. It's a story about somebody finding their way back to God. It's probably the greatest story of that type ever written. The question is today, what's your story? Where are you? Maybe your story isn't dramatic as the prodigal that we're going to read about. But maybe you can relate to the feelings that he had. The something in his gut, something that he wanted that drew him away from his home and his father. Maybe you can relate to that. And I'm going to ask you when we read it a little bit for you to dial into that. But first, I want you to hear some stories of some people who have found their way back to God.
My father was an alcoholic, so I grew up in that type of a home. Once I became of age, drinking was just natural. I saw it, I did it, participated in it, got heavy into it. My first marriage was not very successful, and it ended fairly soon. I had a daughter with my first wife, and I was very into being a daddy. Having my daughter gone was very, very difficult. And it was probably at that time, as far as from a drinking standpoint, I got a lot heavier. Got married again, got into the same habit, same routine. My first marriage lasted 5 years. I had a daughter, got divorced. My second marriage lasted 5 years. I had a daughter, got divorced. Didn't really learn from my experiences. It was more a day-to-day, I want to feel good today, however that was. Alcohol, sex, success at work. There was no real foundation of anything significant that I was searching for. That was rock bottom for me. I've had 2 failed marriages in 10 years, 2 daughters that are no longer with me on a day-to-day basis, and I'm by myself at this point.
My journey started when I was 2 years old, and my mom and my dad divorced. And we had lived with my grandmother for a long time, and she had then at the time gave us an ultimatum to stay with her or to leave. And my grandmother and I did not have a good relationship. My mother and my grandmother did not have a good relationship. I met my ex-husband when I was a junior. It was great in the beginning. I didn't really know who I was though at 16, 17 years old to be in love or even know what it meant. It was just something was missing, but I just was so in the moment and wanted like to get married and the whole fairy tale that I kind of pushed those feelings aside. Once we had my daughter, it definitely took a turn for the worse. His behavior changed and my behavior changed, and I wanted out about a year after. And so I stuck with it for a little bit longer, and we went to therapy. And then once I found out I was pregnant with my son, I felt like I was just stuck. You know, I have 2 kids, and I definitely don't want to be a single mom with 2 kids. So I knew something had to change, and I just kind of went the wrong way to make that change. I had an affair, and then on Father's Day weekend, I had another affair. And the man that I had an affair with ended up being my boyfriend for a few years after me and my ex-husband separated. I think from the beginning of being with a grandmother that treated me like a piece of crap to now being in a relationship that I'm just destroyed and slept with multiple men, but there was no God. And if he was there, he was not a nice person.
I grew up in a Christian home with two parents who also grew up in Christian families. When I was young, about seven, my parents moved to a camp in Central Illinois, a Christian youth camp. And that was a really, really cool way to grow up, just surrounded by youth groups and Christian kids. And coupled with that, I also grew up in the church, surrounded by a family that didn't just believe it, but they lived it. For me, growing up, the key word, I think, in my family would be acceptance. I didn't find that out till later that that was a key word, but it was exactly what I knew growing up. No matter what I did, I would always be loved. Exactly as I am in any moment. You know, I had a faith, I saw how it had played out in my family's lives, but I did not have a direction, and I did not have a purpose that I felt like I was being pulled towards or called to, just kind of searching, longing for a fulfillment that it seemed like everybody else in my family had, and I just hadn't found yet.
Maybe you can relate to one of those stories. And kind of woven through their stories are longings that weren't fulfilled. There was something, a hankering, a yearning for something that wasn't fulfilled. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you can relate to ending up someplace you never thought you'd end up. Maybe that's your story. Or that you just had this thing right back here that just said, I'm doing this, I'm going to work, I'm going to school, whatever, but there's got to be something more to this. And there was a longing for this thing. And the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at some different awakenings, things that you might call a light bulb moment, when something just comes alive in you. We're going to be talking about five different awakenings that typically happen when somebody is finding their way back to God. And the first thing we're going to talk about this morning is awakening to longing. And if you're visiting, there's some outline and some things in the worship folder that you can follow along with. But we're going to be talking about awakening to longing. Longing is, when I looked up the definition of it, there's a lot of physical examples. Craving, an ache, a hunger, a thirst, a hankering. Something that just isn't there, and you maybe don't know exactly what it is, but you're just drawn to it. See, the longing, the idea that there's got to be more, is universal. It's hardwired. It's burned into the hard drive of everybody. This is just who we are. I mean, it's in the stories we write. It's in the art we make. It's in the songs that we sing and hear and produce. So I want to try something for a second. I've got lyrics from three different songs, different eras, popular songs, and my job is to croak out the first few words in a probably an offensive way to the artists who produce these. And then you have to loudly finish the phrase, okay? Now here's the first one. You can't always get... There you go, okay. Very good, very good. Okay, here's another one from a little bit different era. I still haven't found, okay, Rolling Stones, then you too. All right, here's another one. Looking for love in, there you go, very nice. Who was that? I can't remember who did that one. Well, you don't know because you're in church. You just kind of heard the song one time. I mean, you never bought the record or anything. Come on, let's get crazy. That's like you're crazy here. See, all these songs point to longings. And the first one that we need to, that people that are being drawn back to God, that are finding their way back to God, have a longing for love. It's just in us. Glenn Wolf holds the record for the most marriages in the U.S. Now, do you know, somebody want to take a guess? Just throw out a number. 20, 25? 11? 29. His longest was 7 years. Interesting detail about Glenn, he was a Baptist minister. So the question is, why did he keep trying? Why do most of us keep trying? Because we've got that longing to be loved. It's just in there. And it's really, when that awakens in somebody, that's the beginning of moving back to God. I mean, why? Relationships are hard. We get dumped. We get hurt. We still long for love. A friend stabs you in the back. You're gonna take a risk for another friendship in no time because we long for love. It's universal. We also have a longing for purpose. Now, I want you to go in the Wayback Machine to about 5 or 6 years old. Okay? Hop in the Wayback Machine. And what did you want to be when you were about 5 or 6? Throw something out. Firefighter? Farmer? Doctor? Fisher, professional fisherman? Baseball player? Podiatrist, anyone? No, I don't. Well, yeah, just throwing stuff out. Well, you know, people, you know, five-year-olds want to be all kinds of doctors, teachers, firemen, astronauts. I wanted to play my trombone in Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. But that was a little bit older. That was a dream. Also, to play in the NBA. To date, neither one of those have happened. There's always hope. But here's the question. Here's all what I want to ask yourself is, why in the world were you dreaming about what kind of profession you were going to have? Why? You were 5 or 6. You don't need a job at 5 or 6, okay? Not at that age. I mean, there are laws about that kind of thing, at least in America. You didn't have any bills to pay. You were still learning your alphabet and how to spell your word. I mean, Griner is tough. It took me a while. I mean, Schwarzkopf, Terry, it took him till 7th grade. When would you even think about wanting to be something when you grow up? Because you already had a desire in you to have a purpose and accomplish something. It was just in you. People didn't have to bait you with that kind of stuff. No, it was just in you. It was in you and me. So there's a longing for love. There's a longing for purpose. There's also a longing for meaning. We long for the answers to the big why questions. I think we've all experienced, I know I have, enough pain in our lives that at some point we just start asking why. You know, why, God, if you're good, did you allow this to happen? What is the point of my life? Why am I here? I just don't have an idea. Maybe I'm going to work. Maybe I'm going to school. I'm doing the thing, but it just doesn't feel like I know what I'm doing here. And why am I in so much pain? See, if suffering is causing you to question God, here's a couple of things that I want you to think about. See, there's a reason why suffering feels not just painful, but wrong and unfair. There's a reason. There's a reason why sometimes we feel like our life and the world, they just aren't the way they're supposed to be. Here's the thing. God gave us those feelings. God feels the same way. See, our desire to see the wrong put right and the suffering to come to an end are because God put that stuff in us. That's just the way we are. There's just something not right. Something that needs to be put right here. And it drives us crazy. See, understand that a longing for love, longing for purpose, and a longing to have the big why questions answered. These are things that what we all experience at various levels during various times in our, like I said, it's burned on the hard drive of our heart. This is the way we were created. So please understand this. This is really important. The problem isn't that you have these longings and I have these longings. That isn't a problem. The problem is when we try to satisfy them on our own. I can go get me some love. I can go get me some purpose. I can go get me some meaning. That's the problem. The problem is we try to satisfy these longings and answer these questions without God, who put that in us to long for that stuff. So you, when you have longing, that's not a bad thing. That's a really, really good thing. But will it draw you to where you need to go? See, longing is internal, put there by God. The answer is external, God revealing it to us. Here's some good news this morning. I love to tell good news. Awakening to these kind of longings, to the truth, to where they can be satisfied, is the beginning of a journey back to God, wherever you are. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God. Maybe it's been broken and damaged and severed. Or maybe you've been coming to church, but it's just a thing that you do for some fellowship and some company. Whatever it is. But those longings can draw you back to God. Jesus tells us what is considered by many people the greatest short story ever to be written. The lost son, the prodigal son. We heard it sung. But I can hear this guy saying, there's just got to be more. I mean, can you hear him singing, "You can't always get what you want," or "I just haven't found what I'm looking for," or "I'm looking for love," on and on and on. As I read this, what I want you to do is dial in to the emotional longing that this person has. Okay? Don't rush ahead to he's a bad guy. Okay? That becomes evident that he really steps in it. And don't rush ahead to, you know, we know that the how it ends. Well, let's not be uncomfortable. Let's just rush ahead to the party at the end when, let's dial in to what this guy is feeling. Okay? I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It's going to be up on the screen, but also if you're using a device, we have an open Wi-Fi, you can pull up the story. So Luke 15, starting verse 11. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide up his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. Okay, so wild living. The story doesn't give a lot of detail, but, you know, if you were to do this today, you know, maybe he runs off to Vegas or Amsterdam or someplace exotic like Lansing, I don't know. But defining wild living isn't difficult. Because people are people, and dudes are dudes. Okay? Is it really complicated? Okay, wild living would have been, he's a young man on his own, it would have been wild parties, binge drinking, other means of getting high, and women who will satisfy his desires. That's what it would have been. I'm not reading into the thing. I just know men. They didn't have sports on TV back then, so it's just those other things. See, in the culture of the Middle East in the first century, this would have been the most disrespectful thing a son could do to his father. Because here's the thing. Not only was he expected to wait until Pops dies, but he's also supposed to take care of Pops when he gets older. So by asking for his money now, what he was basically saying is, you know, frankly, Dad, I don't care if you live or die. I just want mine because there's something out there that I just need to go do. So, hey, just give me mine. And the father did. Here's where we pick up in 14. About the time his money ran out, and it always does, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. This is the part I want. I'm going to read the rest so that we can have the whole story, but this is the part we're going to really look at, okay? When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' So the party began." So his longing wasn't satisfied with women, with partying. And his journey left him with some pretty big why questions, right? Why didn't this turn out the way I thought? I mean, he probably had a pretty good picture in his mind of where he thought this was going to go, and it was going to be good times. Why am I so lonely, broken, empty? He probably was asking that question. And why or how did I end up in this place? A Hebrew guy in a pig pen. Hello. Does it sound familiar? Maybe your story's not that dramatic. More importantly, does it feel familiar? The longing that he had? See, the story of the lost son is each of our story. It is. Doesn't matter if you've been in church or you accepted Christ as a 5 or 6 year old that we were trying to remember. This is still our story. This is still our story. It's my story. Some more or less dramatic, some more or less painful. I don't know all of your stories. The reason that Jesus told this story is to help each of us find our way back home, back to God. So this brings us to life's most important question. It's kind of a two-parter. Where will you go and I go to satisfy these God-given longings? Remember, God gave them to us. The yearning, the ache, the hunger, the thirst for all these things like love and purpose and meaning. Part two is, will that draw you back to God or away from Him? Those are the two questions. How are you going to fill them? Satisfy them? And will those draw me closer or further away? Because here's the thing. Think about your own spiritual journey, where you've come from and where you are. Time after time, we've wandered off, wandered away, right? Time after time, we've forgotten God, even while attending church. And time after time, we've completely turned our backs. So there's wandering, forgetting, and just saying, I'm done, I'm going someplace else. I'm going in a different direction. See, in the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about five different things that awaken in us that God wants to use to draw us back to Him, back home. We're going to look at all five of these. They need to come out. These awakenings that we're going to talk about, this longing, these are things that need to awaken in us time after time after time in our lives. So we're continually beating a path back. The grass gets worn. We see the path back home, back to God. Today, we really want to dial in emotionally to that awakening to longing. The story is saying it's not satisfied by running in the other direction. It's satisfied by heading toward God. We're not going to use the 2 Corinthians scripture. We're going to save that for another time. Here are the key questions again. I've got them in there in your notes. Where will you go to satisfy these God-given longings? That's important. Will that draw you closer? Or will that draw you close to God or away from God? There was a 17th century mathematician, Blaise Pascal. Get some math folk here. Here we go. Some would say one of the greatest intellects in the history of Western civilization. This guy was bright. And in his early days, he grew up knowing about God. But he was not pursuing God and earnestly following Him. But he had a profound middle-of-the-night experience with God, and everything changed for Blaise Pascal. And he met Jesus. He met God. And what he did is he said, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. And what Blaise Pascal started doing with his other intellectuals, now see, I don't run in those circles. Maybe some of you do. I'm not in the Mensa group. But in those groups, he would challenge other intellectuals to make a wager. He would say, I want you to try this. He says, you have nothing to lose. I want you to act as if there is a God who loves you. And I want you to pray daily, God, if you are real, make yourself real to me. He said, it's a win-win. If there is a God who loves you, then you're going to get love and purpose and you're going to get the answers to your why questions. If He's not, then you've lost nothing. So it's a win-win. So he was challenging because he had a passion for people to find their way back to God as he had. It's a gamble with everything to gain and nothing to lose. And a huge payoff. That's what I'm going to challenge us to do for the next week. Regardless of where you are in your relationship with God. And I'll have it later on in the notes for you. To pray this prayer. God, if you are real, make yourself real to me. Just challenge Him to show up. If there is a God who loves you, and is waiting to run when he sees you, then challenge him to that. Maybe prayer is something that has become commonplace to you. Or maybe it's difficult, you just don't know what to do. Just let's make it that simple. Now I want to go back and we're going to look at a couple of these three people, how they prayed and how they began finding their way back to God.
I didn't know who I was praying to. I didn't sit there like I do now and know who I'm talking to. I just kind of, someone's there, so hear me.
I knew what I was doing was wrong, but still, to I broke away from it because to get back into a relationship with God meant I had to admit to a lot of things. I had to ask for a lot of forgiveness and a lot of internal conviction that was going to take place. I didn't want to do any of that.
There's maybe that's those prayers relate to your story. Now, there's a different kind of prayer from the last guy. Let's jump ahead to that one.
As I was laying there, I just kept remembering this prayer from a book about a Celtic monk that I loved growing up. My dad introduced me to the author. The prayer that he goes to anytime he doesn't know what to do is, "Lord, have mercy." And it's just, he repeats it. It just becomes this meditation. "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." Knowing the whole time and kind of laughing at myself that, like, I really don't deserve this, but asking anyway and receiving it.
Here, I want to explain the challenge a little bit more. This is in your notes. Here's the prayer I want to challenge you to pray. And maybe you know somebody that you believe their longings are leading them back to God. Maybe you can challenge them to pray this. Hey, just try this. What do you got to lose? "God, if you are real, make yourself real to me. Awaken in me the ability to see that you are what I'm missing from my life." Now, there's a tool that you can have. This book, a couple of these guys, I've got to hear Dave Ferguson speak. They wrote this book after interviewing thousands of people that had found their way back to God and honed in on these five awakenings. In the back of the book, it's got a daily journaling kind of question to prompt you. Now, you don't have to buy the book. I encourage you to do that. Pete is going to be leading a group covering that book. But they have a 30-day wager, and this is at www.community, blah, blah, blah. You can go to there and sign up, and they will send you every day an email with a little question to prick your thinking and get things flowing, and as a way of us challenging one another to pray this way. And maybe there's a friend that you want to say, maybe this friend would come and jump into this series in some way, either by the website or inviting him to come here. Those are the questions. Where am I going to get these God-given longings fulfilled, and will that draw me closer, or will that chase me away? But as I'm closing this, imagine, though, if God fulfilled your longing for love, purpose, and meaning. Just imagine that. If God really could do that. Imagine not having to run after or chase love anymore. That's exhausting, painful. Imagine that what it would feel like to not have to search for purpose, but having given one and a source to find those answers to those tough questions. What would it feel like to have your longings fulfilled in God? My prayer is that every one of us will let the longings that God put in us draw us back to him. As the musicians are coming back up, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much that you put something in us, that sometimes we blame those longings for the messes we make, but those are the same things that are going to draw us back to a real relationship with you. And so I ask that right now that you're doing something in our hearts. Maybe some of us have just gotten stale, and we don't look like we've wandered off, but yeah, we kind of have. And maybe there's some who just haven't made a commitment to Christ, and they need to make the first trip back home. I ask that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, mm-hmm. Amen.